Welcome to North Star Church. At North Star, our desire is to lead people to follow Jesus Christ and not simply go to church, but to be the church. The following message is by Jeff Noble, lead pastor and teacher at our Blacksburg, Virginia campus. You can find more information about North Star, including recent podcasts, news, upcoming events, and so much more at northstarfamily.org. Thanks for listening, and we hope you enjoy today's message.
Well, a lot has happened in our culture and in our country since we met together last week, and it's tempting many, many times as a pastor and teacher and preacher to like speak directly to current events. And as we move back into Galatians, and as I was preparing this week, it's uncanny how God's word always seems to wrap up and speak to exactly who we are, where we are, and how we should respond as followers of Jesus Christ. And so I want to invite you to turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. This adventure we've been on since January, we're looking at Paul's words to the church at Galatia and his frustration with these Jewish religious leaders who had come in after Paul had planted the church and had attempted to convince these Gentile Christians that they needed to become Jews in order to be followers of Jesus. These people had come in and were trying to convince these Galatian Christians that it wasn't enough to ask Jesus to come into their hearts. That wasn't enough for salvation. That if they really wanted to be made right with God, they had to become circumcised for the men. They had to observe all of the Mosaic law, that they had to essentially become Jews. And it, in some weird ways, it made sense because these were the people of God. This was the nation of Israel. God had made a promise to Abraham, and they'd reaffirmed that promise to Isaac, to Jacob. They'd had the land promised to them. They had moved into the land. They had had a king and kings and kingdoms, and they had built the temple. And so the idea that a person could be made right with God through simple faith in the Messiah, it seemed to a really good legalistic Jew to be too easy. It was almost as if all of their history made no sense and wasn't worth anything. And so it's like they were attempting to convince Gentiles, yes, you're supposed to trust in Jesus as Messiah, but you can't dispense with all the other stuff. You have to become like us. And so in some strange ways, it made sense. So last week, as we wrapped up chapter 4, we looked at who's your mama. And we looked at the reality that even though these Jews were claiming that Abraham is our father, and we've inherited all of this from Abraham. God made promises to Abraham. Abraham is our daddy. Paul switched the argument on them and said, yeah, but who's your mama? And he looked at the promised child was tracked through Abraham's marriage to Sarah, not through Abraham being with Hagar and the product of that relationship, which was Ishmael. The promise would be tracked through Isaac and through Jacob and eventually through David so that Jesus would be called a son of David. And so what Paul was trying to show the Gentile Christians was that, hey, don't try to become like they are, because they're actually, by their legalism, they're actually demonstrating that they're following not the child of the promise by faith, but they're following the child of slavery by legalism. And so we get to chapter 5. And so if you'll follow with me, I'm going to read verses 1 through 6 together, then we'll unpack those. It says, it is for freedom that Christ set us free. Now, I know that we don't often like say amen to things like this, but let me just read this again because I'm traditional enough, I need something from this, okay? It is for freedom that Christ set us free. Amen. All right. Well, you should say amen, because what this means tonight is momentous to how we live in our culture and how we enjoy our relationship with God. It's for freedom that Christ has set us free. He says, stand firm then, and don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. Take note, I, Paul, am telling you that if you get yourself circumcised, Christ will not benefit you at all. Again, I testify to every man who gets himself circumcised that he is obligated to do the entire law. You who are trying to be justified by the law are alienated from Christ. You have fallen from grace. For we eagerly await through the Spirit, by faith, the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision accomplishes anything. What matters is faith working through love. And in those succinct words, Paul puts a bulldozer across anybody that would attempt to make themselves right by God through works and their own energy and their own morality. Paul essentially just says it is for freedom that Christ set us free. And where we've been in Galatians is Galatians chapter 1 and chapter 2 are deep theology. And then chapter 3 and chapter 4 are history. But chapter 5 and chapter 6, Paul will begin to say, this then is how we should live. This is how we should apply what we've learned throughout this letter to our daily lives. We must embrace our freedom in Christ. The very last thing that Paul had said to them in our previous chapter, in chapter 4, verse 31, Paul says, we're not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. And so it's for freedom that Christ has set us free. It's freedom. It is this deliverance from tyranny and oppression. And as I started thinking about freedom, I can't think of a better clip to show you about freedom than a quick clip from, you guessed it, Braveheart. So join with me and let's watch on the screens this brief clip.
Sons of Scotland, I am William Wallace.
William Wallace is 7 feet tall.
Yes, I've heard. Kills men by the hundred. And if he were here, he'd consume the English with fireballs from his eyes. I am William Wallace. And I see a whole army of my countrymen here in defiance of tyranny. You've come to fight as free men. And free men you are. What will you do with that freedom? Will you fight?
Fight against that?
No!
We will run!
And we will live. Aye. Fight and you may die. Run and you'll live. At least a while. And dying in your beds, many years from now, would you be willing to trade all the days from this day to that for one chance, just one chance, to come back here and tell our enemies that they may take our lives, but they'll never take our freedom!
So William Wallace is this leader who inspires the men to throw off tyranny and oppression. He embraces freedom. And he says, you can run and live. But the reality will be there will come a day that you'll think back that you had this one moment where you could experience freedom for the rest of your life. And for us as followers of Jesus Christ, that one moment is the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. And every time we attempt to live by our own morality, and every time we try to please God by our works instead of trusting in Christ's salvation, we run and we will fail. and we will die as a result. Any person that trusts in themselves to make themselves right with God belittles the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So Paul is fighting for the Galatians' spiritual freedom. He is insistent and he is intent. And he says, stand firm then and don't submit again to a yoke of slavery. He uses this word yoke. It's this idea of an oxen being enslaved or being chained to a wooden yoke so that he can plow a field. And it's this idea that our sinfulness and the burden of this world and the brokenness of this world will enslave you. But Christ has come to set you free. He says, do not be enslaved again to this yoke. And it's powerful that Jesus used the same imagery. We looked at this verse last week in Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus offers this beautiful invitation. Come to me, all of you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take up my yoke and learn from me, because I am lowly and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Following Jesus provides me and provides you with rest, with easiness, with lightheartedness. You do not have to be weighed down by the guilt and shame of your past, present, or future sins, nor by the evil that you see in this world. Jesus invites us, all of us who are weary and heavy burdened, to place our burden upon him. Peter would say in 1 Peter 5, 7 through 8, to cast our cares upon him because he cares for us. So the question tonight is, are you finding your rest and your joy in your love relationship with Christ Jesus? Are you confident in Christ in a tumultuous world? Are you experiencing freedom in Christ, lightheartedness in Christ? This is what Paul is fighting with the Galatians about. He is so determined that they enjoy their relationship with Jesus and walk in faith and not by sight, to trust and believe that God is sovereign and that God is in control. And in spite of what they may see around them in their culture, that Jesus Christ still offers eternal life and peace and hope and forgiveness to all who will come to him. And that he is in loving and gracious control. And his kingdom is not of this world. This is what Paul is fighting for the Galatians to re-experience. He's going to say, is for next week, he's going to say in verse 7, you were running well. Who prevented you from being persuaded regarding the truth? The NIV translation translates verse 7 like this. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you to keep you from obeying the truth? Paul's using athletic imagery, and it's as if someone's running a race and someone literally cuts in on someone to hinder someone's running path. The Greek is literally to cut into, to impede one's course by cutting off their way. Paul's saying, who cut off your passionate pursuit of a love relationship with Jesus? What has distracted you and drawn your attention and your focus and your worry and your anxiety onto the things of this world? What has made you want to try to make yourself right with God by your activity, your religious fervor, and your works? He's fighting for their freedom. In verse 2, he says, take note. This is such a unique thing that Paul would employ in his letters. He's inserting himself into his letter here. He says, take note. I, Paul, am telling you that if you get yourself circumcised, Christ will not benefit you at all. Essentially, he's fighting. He's fighting so much for them not to go back to the Old Testament law, not to listen to these Judaizers, to follow Christ in simple and pure devotion, to walk in love before God and before mankind. He's telling them that they're free. It is for freedom that Christ has set them free. Free from what? They're free from sin. We're free from guilt. We're free from shame. We're free from servility. We don't have to serve anybody but God. He's already said that we are heirs with Christ, that we are royalty. We are sons and daughters of the King of Kings. We're free from anyone else's authority. We bow only to Jesus Christ. And we are free not just from things, but we are free for things. We are free for bold witness to what Jesus has done in my life and in your life. We are free to enjoy life. We are free to experience radical peace in tumultuous times. We are free to employ confident trust in God. We know that through God, nothing can touch us unless He so wills it. In Romans chapter 8, verses 35 through 37, Paul would write to the church at Rome and he would say this: "Who can separate us from the love of Christ? Can affliction or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, because of you, we are being put to death all day long. We are counted as sheep to be slaughtered." And then he says, "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us." Nothing can separate me. Nothing can separate you from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so Paul is urging these Galatians, don't submit to circumcision. Don't submit to doing what they tell you to do that they think will make you more right with God. You trust Jesus Christ alone for salvation, and you walk in faith before Jesus Christ daily in joyful obedience. It is a love relationship with Him that is absolutely essential for your enjoyment of fellowship with the Father. And so he's going to say that we should beware of anybody that would enslave us. He's going to say that we should beware of people that would steal our joy. Beware of people that would kill grace. Beware of fear mongers, of hate peddlers, of anger fomenters, and of anxiety stokers. We should be free to enjoy our love relationship with Jesus, trusting Him alone for fellowship. I think of these Judaizers in Galatia, and I am embarrassed to admit I'm a huge Harry Potter fan, but I think of these people a little bit like the Dementors. Is these people are hovering around these Galatian Gentile Christians, sucking the joy of their salvation out of them, trying to convince them that there is no life, no hope, that the world is in chaos, and that therefore we should live in fearfulness. And in reality, what Paul is trying to say, he's saying, if you submit to circumcision, it's as if you're saying Jesus isn't enough. If you want to walk down this path of legalism, you can't have Jesus plus legalism. Jesus won't tolerate that. Jesus wants you to trust Him and Him alone for fellowship and for salvation. The sobering question that we have to ask ourselves today is, what is our cultural and modern equivalent to letting ourselves be circumcised? Because we can read this passage, and in verse 2, he says, if you go get circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you. In verse 3, he says, if you let yourself get circumcised, you're obligated to obey the entire law. Then he's going to say, you're fallen from grace. But what does that mean for me, and what does that mean for you? What's the modern equivalent to what the Judaizers were trying to get the Gentile Christians to do? Well, the Galatian Christians were allowing themselves to be circumcised because they assumed that these Judaizers had an inside track to being right with God. These Judaizers said, this is what you have to do to be pleasing to God and to be acceptable to us. To be pleasing to God and to be acceptable to us, you need to be circumcised. You need to obey all of these laws. But only one of those things was actually true to them. They weren't really worried about the Galatian Gentile Christians being acceptable to God. They were deeply wanting them to be acceptable to them. They wanted to make them like they were. The reality is, this would not make them righteous, though, before God. In Matthew chapter 23, verse 15, Jesus confronted Pharisees. And in chapter 23, he's going to call them snakes and vipers and whitewashed tombs and everything else. But he says this, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites! You travel over land and sea to make one convert. And when he becomes one, you make him twice as much a child of hell as you are." This is what the Judaizers are attempting to do to the Gentiles, to convert them to legalism and away from simple and pure faith in Christ. So what does that look like in our culture? What are people trying to do to us to make us acceptable to them? I think in humility, we have to realize that there are no solutions to the brokenness of America apart from Jesus Christ. We cannot protest our way to utopia. We cannot burn targets to inspire and save humanity. We cannot wave American flags or trust our political leaders to have answers to life, happiness, and righteousness. As believers in Jesus Christ, we, like the Galatians, have got to realize what people are trying to make us act like and make us do, and step outside of our nationality and step outside of our ethnicity and see that hope and salvation and peace and forgiveness and reconciliation, all of those only come from stepping into the kingdom of God that Jesus Christ has inaugurated. If we want peace, if we want reconciliation, if we want forgiveness, if we want joy, if we want hope, we have all of that in the kingdom of God, not in the nation of the United States of America. And that is why we have been given as Christians the ministry of reconciliation, of preaching and proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ. The thing that the nations and our nation wants most, it will never find through legislation and protest and rioting and the isms that we are currently experiencing. The thing that people want most will only be found through a path of humility, acknowledging all of our sinfulness and turning only in faith to Christ Jesus. Anyone that would tell you, and this is Paul speaking to the Galatians, anyone that would tell you that you can be reconciled to God by doing things is a liar and a false teacher. And anyone that would tell us that we can be reconciled to God, or that we can be reconciled to man by not changing our hearts and submitting to God, is a liar and a false teacher. What we're seeing in our culture is a complex reproduction of a very basic problem. And the problem is sin. And we are all guilty of sin. We are all so very guilty. And sin essentially is man's attempt to rule the world apart from God. And what we're seeing in this past week in our culture is man's attempt to right the world without submission to God. Our paths result in enmity, strife, rioting, hatred, divisiveness, and brokenness. But God's paths lead to and through the cross, where all of God's wrath for our brokenness and our sinfulness and our isms, all of God's wrath and judgment upon those were placed on Jesus Christ. And anyone that trusts in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ and that sacrifice alone and calls upon the name of Jesus by faith may be saved and experience being made right with God. That's why Paul's words in Galatians are so full of passion. He would say in Galatians 1:6, I am amazed that you are so quickly turning away from him who called you by the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. In 1:9, he'd say, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to what you received, a curse be on him. And 4:6-7, he says, you are sons and daughters. God sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a son. In 3:1, he says, you foolish Galatians, who has cast a spell on you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was publicly portrayed as crucified? In 6:14, he's going to say, I will never boast about anything except the cross of our Lord Jesus. And then one of the most succinct statements that Paul makes to any church is found in 1 Corinthians 2:2, where he says, I have decided to know nothing among you except Christ and him crucified. Christians, we preach one message. We have one hashtag, and it is Jesus and him crucified. This is our only message. We are so tempted, I am so tempted to identify with a cause, a movement, a hashtag, or an issue. And yet I find myself at times so hesitant to proclaim boldly that hope and salvation and forgiveness and reconciliation is only found through a submission to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. It'd be a sobering spiritual accounting to review all of our social media over the past year and to evaluate what we hashtag and what we identify with. Because Paul says the only thing we should identify with is Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. You don't hashtag circumcision. You don't hashtag Mosaic law. You hashtag faith alone through Christ alone. It is Jesus alone that matters. It's Jesus alone that saves. It's Jesus alone that heals. It's Jesus alone that brings peace and reconciliation and heals people and relationships and families and cultures. It is Christ and him crucified. It's powerful that Paul would spend his entire ministry living in an empire full of injustice. And yet he would speak entirely to Christians about being the hope and the light of the world and living in right relationship with Jesus, and that Paul would not address the social issues of his day, because Paul's conviction apparently was that if Christians will submit and walk in loving humility before God, they will be the light of the world. They will be the hope of nations. They will be the example for people to follow. And God's power will be poured out through their churches and their families and their friendships in such a way that everywhere these people go, that's the body of Christ going. And the body of Christ will do through the American church and the Indonesian church and the Russian church and the Chinese church what Jesus himself did when he was here. The body of Christ will heal and preach and proclaim and lead and bring peace and hope and reconciliation and salvation to anyone that will trust upon the name of Jesus. There are no solutions in this world. That's why God sent his Son, who is external to this world. We need a Savior. In John chapter 3, verse 16 through 21, Jesus told Nicodemus one night, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already because he's not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world. And people love the darkness rather than the light because their works were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his works should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his works have been carried out in God. And so Paul would say in Galatians 5:4, he says, you who are trying to be justified by the law are alienated from Christ. You've fallen from grace. Paul's saying, Christians, when you get caught up in anything external to faith, when you get caught up in movements and causes and trying to appeal or to please other people instead of simply living your life to please the Father through faith, it's as if you're allowing these Judaizers to come into your life and to distract you from a sincere and pure devotion to God. Now, when Paul says you've fallen from grace, it doesn't mean that he's saying you've fallen from salvation, that you've lost your salvation when you get off track for a while. Paul's essentially saying is you're putting grace on a shelf and you're attempting to live by morality and legalism. We know that we can't lose our salvation. Jesus encouraged us consistently. One great verse is in John 10, 28 through 30. Jesus says, I give them eternal life and they will never perish and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all. No one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one. Jesus has you in the palm of his hand. He loves me. He loves you. He will not allow anyone, including yourself, to remove you from fellowship with him. Once he has you, you belong to him. Once you have submitted your life to him in faith, you are saved. You are sealed by the Holy Spirit. And that's why in verse 5, Paul will say, for we eagerly await through the Spirit, by faith, the hope of righteousness. And then Paul will conclude this section. He says, what matters is faith expressing itself through love. I think that is a powerful way for us to conclude this message this evening, is to remind ourselves is that when we hashtag our lives with Jesus and him crucified, when we live for Jesus, when we post about Jesus, when we proclaim Jesus, when we reflect Jesus, when we tell others about Jesus is the hope of the world. We don't just sit back and smugly say, well, I've told people about Jesus. My mission is done. What matters is faith expressing itself through love. The Apostle James would communicate that faith without works is dead. Real faith produces real love. Gentle, humble, compassionate love for people. So we should preach Jesus. His kingdom alone offers hope, peace, salvation, forgiveness, unity, reconciliation, love, and joy. And we should remember Galatians 5:1. It is for freedom that Christ has set you free. Stand firm then, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Let's pray. Father, we come before you this evening humbled and stunned by the immensity of the practicality of your word. And Lord, we ask you this evening as we continue into a time of worship and praise, we ask you to let these words sink deeply into our hearts and our minds, to change our attitudes, to break our hearts in compassion for a broken world that we live in, a world full of fear and frustration and hatred and anxiety and corruption. And Lord, we look at the events unfolding in our cities with dismay and discouragement and trepidation, wondering what we must do. And God, we ask that you remind us tonight that we are free. We are free from sin and shame and guilt, and we are free for the joyful, peaceful proclamation of the gospel of Jesus to our neighbors and to our nation and to our world. Oh God, we are the light of the world. Forgive us for allowing our lights to be hidden under a bushel in fear of what people may think of us for proclaiming the name of Jesus. But there is no other name given under heaven by which we can be saved. And the gospel is the power of salvation for all who believe. We are inherently powerful because of you in our lives. Give us joyful boldness. And Lord, allow us to celebrate our spiritual freedom and deliverance from slavery. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
We're so glad you found this message today. You can find more resources, including previous podcasts, at northstarfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and we hope to see you next time at North Star Church.